You listen to the Jason Greger Show presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more.
And Kev, lots to discuss. Oiler fans are all about, you know, Jack Campbell, and he's looked pretty small. I know there's lots of people asking questions on it. His numbers the last five games were atrocious, any way you spin it. He looks a lot similar to he did in December and November, smaller in the net than he did in January when he seemed to find his game a bit, but it's gone again. What are you seeing as the major issues for him technically?
You know, it's funny. Like, I was looking through, and I got to apologize. I had pretty much like the last 30 goals queued up in ClearSight, and I can't get the video player to work, so I was reduced to NHL.com, which means I can tell you all about the new Genesis lineup because I watched a 30-second ad for each new car they're bringing out before I got to watch each video, but it didn't allow me to go as far back as I wanted to. Because I'm like, this is the thing I talked about even when they signed him. When it goes hot and when it goes cold, I don't find huge gaps, like huge discrepancies when he's playing well, like to the eye test. Like, yeah, he shrinks a little bit. He tends to retreat a little bit from the top of his crease and start playing three-quarter depth. You know, the playing small thing, at times behind screens, he'll sink behind screens rather than get up close to them, try and find a sight line over his shoulder. And as much as there were deflections the other night, a lot of deflections, he was guilty on that. There's always going to be a little bit of backwards drift to his game. Like, the line for him from a eye test and technical, it doesn't look different. Like, it really is. It really seems to be so often about confidence, which was kind of the caveat I threw in when they signed him. And we saw it last year. Like, in Toronto, went through a six-week stretch where he was the worst goalie in the NHL. And when I looked at the video and did extensive, like, deep dive look at the video then, you know, the differences between his early season hot streak and then were just him getting beaten not. And so positioning, the way he moved, a lot of those things didn't change. It just, he's a guy that relies a lot on how he feels and feeling good about his game. And that in some ways is makes the job even tougher from, you know, for goalie coach Dustin Schwartz, because, you know, it's not like glaring technical errors. Yes, sometimes he drifts back. Sometimes he retreats behind screen. Sometimes he gets a little low in the thighs. He sort of sinks his butt down into the back of his pads. And that's when I think you see people say he looks smaller. But even when you fix those things, like the difference between, you know, hot and cold Jack Campbell is largely between the ears as opposed to anything glaring between the pipes. And that's why it becomes a tough fix, and it becomes a bit of a, you know, like just a bit of a tough deal. Like, you don't know, you don't really, not sure what to do there. And it's sort of always been the caveat I had. It was the caveat I had when he signed him. It doesn't look that much different, so it can be a little troubling in terms of, you know, how do we solve this? How do we fix it if it's all between the ears so much as it is between the pipes? Maybe get him a little more assertive at the top of the crease, but, that's easier said than done for a lot of guys when they're not feeling confident, right? So it's a tough one, and it almost sounds like, I know this sounds like a cop-out, like, hey, you're supposed to be the goalie guy. Why can't you spot it? But to me, this has just always been a big part of Jack Campbell's game, and we even talked about it. You know, we've talked about it at various times already. This is sort of the conundrum that is Jack Campbell.
To me, when he's struggling, he looks so small. And you touched on it there, and I've been saying it. I said it after the game. I've been saying it for a while. But, like, there was an image they flashed at the beginning of the third, because I didn't know if he was going to be back in there. I thought maybe they'd put Skinner in. But he looked like a Bantam goalie, from a distance. I'm like, oh, my God, he looks so small. So, you know, is that from squeezing? Like, what is it? Why does he look smaller when he appears to be struggling? Because a month ago, he looked like a house.
Well, I mean, I think so part of his start is just where you are on the ice, where you are in the crease, right? Like, not to go old school, we're not coming out to the bottom of the hash marks and kicking our skates up and steering pucks into the corner. But, you know, the difference between, you know, being two-thirds up your crease and having even at the front edge of your crease with your skates, in terms of what the puck sees, in terms of what players see, in terms of what you're seeing after a goal, and you know, being halfway back in your crease, and I would argue even more so, retreating as the puck comes into your crease, especially again in traffic. To me, that looks that much smaller. Physically, biomechanically, I talked about sort of sitting down when you lose that height in your thighs. So if you're on your knees in the butterfly and you keep your hips up tall, sort of, you know, high thighs, tall hips, that you're going to present bigger even when you're down on your knees. I do find, and this comes with the backwards drip. Like, think about it. If you're drifting back in a goalie stance, you tend to be rocking back on your heels a little bit. So if you're retreating, whether it's because you can't find a puck through traffic, and there's a lot of that against Winnipeg, or you're retreating because you don't feel confident, and, you know, guys go two ways when they don't feel good about their game. Some guys get super aggressive. Marc-Andre Fleury used to be this way. His mindset went to, I feel like crap, so I'm going to get myself as close to the puck as I can. Sometimes ridiculously so with his aggression. Other guys, it's like, I can't see it, I'm not feeling it, I'm just going to retreat back to the goal line and hope it hits me. And I think that's, you know, he's not quite on the goal line, but he's sinking in that direction. And if you think about backwards movement, even you, Strutty, as a defenseman, if you got into sort of, you know, not where you're sort of pumping your legs, but you're just sort of gliding straight backwards, where does your weight go? It's kind of onto your heels.
Right.
And so as he sinks back in the crease from a positioning standpoint, you tend to sit back on with your weight on your heels. And as you drop into the butterfly, the tendency when your weight's on your heels, two things happen. One, your butterfly narrows, so you lose that width. And that width, having your legs out beside you and sort of having those skates planted, makes it a little easier to stay tall in the thighs. When your feet come in behind you because of that sort of weight on the heels, backwards drift, narrow butterfly, the tendency is then, to, as you drop, to also sit down with your butt and lower it almost into the back of your skates. And again, all of these things are going to make you look small. And Jack's never played a big game anyways, but he's going to look even smaller when you combine that retreated positioning with sitting down a little bit in terms of the biomechanics of his stance and narrowing up that butterfly because his weight's on his heels as he drifts backwards.
Safe to say then, if there's any significant change, it's going to have to be in the off season.
Man, this is a tough one. Like last year, like I said, he went through a 6-week stretch where he was undeniably statistically the worst goalie in the NHL. Like, there was no questions. There was nobody even close. And I'm looking at his adjusted numbers right now, you know, because I wanted to look. I pulled up his scouting report because I wanted to see, like, you know, is there anything that jumps out glaring, something that's killing him? Like, screens are definitely not good. It's one of his worst statistical elements right now. So a night like the other night where you see him retreat behind the tips and deflection, screens are a part of that, right? But, guys, like, there's not a single positive. There is not a single category out of all the different shot types that ClearSight Analytics tracks where Jack Campbell is above expected. Like, all the micro stats, he's below expected. So I don't know where you fix this, except to say, you know, and again, not to sound like I'm beating a dead horse here, so much of this starts with confidence for him. And how does he find his confidence? Man, I don't know if I'd be calling a goalie coach or a sports psychologist at this point. And again, we've talked
Dusty
about that
Emu?
Before too, right?
Dusty Emu? Maybe call Dusty Emu.
I think for Dusty, like, when you talk to Dusty about their work together, it was mostly about feeling good. Like, it was more about mindset than it was anything technical. And Dusty will be the first one to tell you that. You know, I don't know if Jack works with a sports psychologist or not. I don't think he does, to be honest. Having talked to some people around him, I think he just goes to old goalie coaches. I spent an hour with a sports psychologist from Sweden the other day that has like 30 or 40 goalie clients, and he actually breaks guys down like he does personality tests first, and then he does stress tests so they can understand how their personality reacts to specific stresses and how it manifests itself in their body. For a lot of guys, it's tension in the hands and in the feet, which tension's the enemy of goaltending. It tends to lock us up and lose a lot of that feel and mobility that a guy like Jack Campbell relies so heavily on. So I'm not saying that that's necessarily the answer, but they've got to find one here. And like I said, technically, all these little details, yeah, you can pick and chip away at them and hopefully get him feeling good and get him playing better. But it just feels like every time I talk to people that have been around him in the past, like, that it's as much about feeling good as it is about, you know, breaking down biomechanics or changing his tactics or his technique. And so much of that, you know, I think, I'll say it's not about hockey, but it's not about the X's and O's of goaltending so much as it is just about finding him in a spot where it feels good. And listen, like, this is a lot. And this is what worried me when they made sign the deal. I talked about the analytics, how they, you know, there was nothing there that suggested in the history of being a number one guy, but it's the expectations that came with the contract of being a number one guy in a Canadian market. Like, those are a lot of new things for Jack Campbell to wrap his head around. You know, at a time when he was coming off a season that had just massive swings in performance. So, you know, because he's such a good guy, you know, everyone hopes that they get this figured out. And I think they will, because he's a better goalie than that. As much as I was down on the adjusted numbers when they signed the contract, because, again, they ranked in the 30s. There was nothing there jumping out saying, you know, top-end number one guy, give him a long-term contract. He's a lot better than he's shown this year. And there's enough of a track record of playing better than he's shown this year that, like, I believe he's a better goaltender than this. I just think maybe the expectations of what that contract said he could be were never going to be realistic, and that may be part of what's snowballing here between the ears as much as between the pipes.
Okay, Kev, we've got 2 minutes, so I need two answers. Okay, this is a real test for you. Okay, Craig Anderson, what do you make of him at his age in Buffalo, and what should they do moving forward?
Him at his age in Buffalo has the fifth best adjusted save percentage in the entire National Hockey League. Nobody reads the game as well as Craig Anderson. Watch for tonight when they play Edmonton. He will make some saves standing up. We talk about post-play and reverse VH and all the different techniques. Watch how many times he just puts the pads together like old-school Jenny Nabokov against the post. His ability to read the game and show guys different looks is one of the things that separates him. The only question mark, and it's a fair one at his age, is how much he can play. Because for all the talk about Buffalo having a goaltending problem, when Craig's in the net and he's not worn down, he's still among one of the best in the game. To me, the curious thing for them is they continue to go back to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, even ahead of Eric Comrie, and all the adjusted numbers I have say that he's the worst option of the three. It's almost like they want to make fetch happen here and make Pekka Luukkonen the number one goaltender maybe a little before he's ready, because Comrie hasn't been bad and Anderson's been amazing, and yet they continue to want to sort of wedge UPL in there as the number one. So it's been interesting to watch, but you get the best of the bunch in terms of that three, and one of the best in the league tonight, Craig Anderson. When he's rested and healthy, he's as good as anyone.
And quick Korpisalo, essentially, quick goes from LA to Vegas through Columbus. Quick's numbers are not very good. What's the expected save for either one? And do you think Korpisalo can continue it? Because here's a guy who's had stretches of good games, and then he's had long stretches where he's been meh for the last few years.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that was playing through significant injuries and hips that would limit his mobility, which is so much of his game. Since he's had the hip cleaned up, took him to mid-December to get comfortable with a body that functioned properly, could get into positions goaltending-wise that he couldn't before. And as I said, going into the trade deadline, since I think December 9th, Korpisalo's adjusted save percentage is one of the best in the league. So can he continue it with the pressure that comes with playing for the Kings versus basically no pressure in Columbus? That's the question. It's not a matter of his technique. It's a matter of between the years and coping with that extra pressure. Quick, we know, can manage the pressure. I'm just not convinced that the game's still there. He's one of the worst adjusted save percentages in the league all season long. He's minus 4%. And to put that into perspective, guys, like on every 100 shots, Jonathan Quick gives up 4 more goals than he should or than the average goaltender gives up in the National Hockey League. And if you think about it, like that's every 3.5 games, even on a good team in Vegas, max every 4 games. That's damn near a goal a game more than you should. And that's, I guess the hope is he's going to be angry and he can rediscover his old form, because he's had brilliance at moments in his career. But this season in particular, and even last year when you looked at the adjusted, that game hasn't been there in a while. It wouldn't have been the way I would have gone if I was the Vegas Golden Knights. Hell, I would have tried to get Kevin Lankinen out of Nashville. But they re-signed him instead because they know how good he's been in Nashville. So that's a risk that the narrative's great. I want Jonathan Quick to come back and be great and help face the LA Kings in the playoffs. What a storyline. The reality of the numbers say it's pretty unlikely to happen.
Kev, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate your time. Have a good one.
You too, guys.